This is RSVNB Update, episode 486, recorded Friday, October 10th, 2014. Stronger, faster, smarter. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVNB Update. Usual friendly host here is Shane12088, along with
Tricky Me, J1J2J3.
Hey, you almost said it wrong, just how it's prone to typos.
You shouldn't be the one to comment now, would you? You remember the first time you made that comment?
Yes. For anyone who doesn't know, apparently I am very prone to typos. And they make for good fun, and I say I will not typo something, and next sentence, there you go, it's typoed. So, anyways, a bit of a standard show this week. RuneFest is tomorrow. You guys are probably listening to this after the RuneFest live stream, so we will have our coverage from RuneFest, most notably having someone on the show who was actually at RuneFest next week. So look forward to hearing their perspectives. But in the meantime, we will have links for you in just a little bit. But let's begin with this week's update, shall we?
Okay, so first up, we have Smarter Familiars that were released this week. How do you make it stronger, faster, and more helpful? You make a giant graphical update.
There was a graphics update?
I think the Geyser Titans had a little extra blue in them.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice anything in mine, but if you say there was a graphical update and your eyes think there were, then perhaps there was.
Yeah, you shouldn't talk about my eyes now, should you? Anyway, so, familiars. They are now joined as quickly as possible when you engage a target. They now defend you when you're attacked and not fighting back. They will switch quickly and accurately when you change targets. And if you assign a target, it will stay on it until it dies. Or told otherwise. Combat familiars will use special moves automatically when they fight, as long as scrolls and summoning points are available. And each familiar can start up to 500 special move scrolls for you. I thought we used to just stick that in the helmet.
Yeah, that was the helmet for...
Enchanted ones.
Yeah, you can pretty much enchant any helmet with that to store the scrolls. And I never did that because the scrolls really didn't all seem that useful to commit to that. So I was just brought them along in the inventory, one item, and you know, you can stack them. But anyways, that was a nice commercial that you did for the summoning update. Let me commend you on that right there.
I did?
Yeah, it sounded like something you'd see on one of those infomercials, you know?
Oh. Okay. So anyway, let's see. They now join as quickly as possible when you get to target. And actually, I saw a big difference when I decided to go kill some water fiends with my geyser, since the geyser is range based. Before it, by the time it's you're attacking someone, let me come over. I already killed it. So yeah, you were a great help. Haven't tested one with the melee one, did you?
Yeah, I did. That was the Iron Titan, and, you know, you're right, they do attack faster, and they feel as though they're a sufficient form of DPS now, which is good, and it's really what Summoning Familiars should have been ever since Summoning came out. I don't know what took so long to create an update like this, but it's definitely welcome in any case.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So next up, they also defend you when you're attacked and not fighting back. So usually most people have auto attack on unless they're fighting a monster that they don't want to auto attack. So I don't think that's a huge, huge change. They can switch quickly and accurately when you change a target. But
yeah. One thing though on the defense, if I might jump in here. There's a little bit of an odd case here. It's that, you know, you're being attacked by something and the familiar wants to defend you, which is good. But let's just say you're doing Slayer. you have these cases where either the Slayer monsters are so horrendously easy with, you know, level 80 or even level 70 armor that you don't even need that much food. So it's like, what's a familiar defending you against? There's that case, which we experience day to day if you're using them for Slayer. Now, if you take them to, say, you know, a boss fight or something like that, the familiars get squashed right away, and they still feel rather useless in that case. So, I mean, defense one way or another is okay, but like you said, it just doesn't feel all that useful.
Well, I think more for the familiars defending you, it's kind of like if you're fighting a bunch of group of people, makes it easier.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I didn't try anything in AoE combat. I know one example with Slayer recently that I looked at after EOC was the Dagonoths and how they just attack you so hard. It's so many of them hitting you all at once. And even with the right kind of resilient melee armor, you do take a significant amount of damage from them. Did you find that too with Dagonoths?
I didn't fight Dagonoths.
Okay. Because if you go to the lighthouse, you do have that same kind of thing where they all swarm you. I don't know if that's a place to do them nowadays, but
they still do. Lighthouse is still good. So let's say you go to group of people in there. Usually I just grab a two-hander weapon with my Sarah Doman sword and put on all the 2-3 AoE skills and just have at it. And usually I stay alive pretty well. Let's see, only time I had maybe an issue was my bunyip wasn't working, wasn't giving me enough stuff. I'm just trying to use all my bunyips and those things. So
okay.
Anyway, I don't have to worry about those ever again. So, and you know why.
Yeah, unicorns. But
actually, unicorns aren't that great because they actually, unless they changed it recently, they actually drain your adrenaline.
Right. Okay. So moving on from the defense side of things, switching targets, and I think this is where the main part of the update comes in, is that it feels as though, you know, you have a bit of an extra DPS boost if you're just taking a familiar with you and you're wanting to kill things rather quickly. Am I right?
I don't know, I think most people now just carry out the packet or something to gather extra loot or carry extra food if need be. For me, I think I haven't tried it with any melee familiars, but I do remember before this update fighting melee. I used a Rune Minotaur when I was hunting for the Dragon Pickaxe way back when. And yeah, you're laughing because you know how long I was down there.
Yes.
You know, basically I would kill one before that thing even hit one. So,
yep. And yep. The test case I used was an Iron Titan at the Abyssal Demons, and it helps, especially when the familiar casts its special move, which we'll get to in just a minute. Now, this is what you said. You can go with a pack yak, or you can go with one of these other familiars. And I think for the longest time, ever since summoning came out, it felt as though the only really useful familiars out there, except in a few couple of cases before the EOC update, were the pack yaks and the tortoises for extending your inventory. If you're going to a boss fight, bring extra stuff or gather more.
Right.
You know, maybe this Grack for nature rune crafting, and, you know, unicorn and bunyip for a bit of extra healing, and maybe the odd case of the fruit bat as well. I think those...
That's good.
If you were thinking of it... Oh, your magpie too. We can't forget about that now, can
magpie.
We?
Yes, my magpie.
So,
magpie!
The general sense I had before this update is that familiars were useless. And it's like, why bother, you know, taking anything except the ones I just mentioned? Now, I think that we do have a real choice as to whether we take a Titan at level 95 summoning or a Minotaur, maybe if you're a bit lower, or just purchase one off the exchange and use that as a bit of extra DPS for when you're fighting. Now, the question I was thinking of when I was testing this is, there's no real way in RuneScape to measure your DPS, how much damage you're putting out over the course of a killing session, say 10 minutes. I mean, there's no combat log per se in order to do that. WoW can do that. Star Trek Online can do that. Pretty much every other modern MMO can, which, you know, people rely on in order to see their performance, which would, I think, would be nice these days, so we could truly benchmark equipment loadouts and EOC loadouts. I'm going on a bit here, but this comes into the effect of how much DPS boost is this familiar giving us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see something like that to know, you know, am I killing an extra 2 per 10 minutes, or am I killing maybe just 1 extra per 10 minutes and I could be off better with some other familiar.
Mm-hmm. I think combat familiars are good, especially when you make them during double XP weekend or whatnot, and you just have a whole bunch of them in your inventory. You can train them back for shards, or you can just make something out of it. So my thought has always been of, you know, while this came out, is maybe we'll use a couple, you people will start using them up. And as we kind of said before, there's really not that much reason to eat food as much as before with our healing skills that we have. So you know, instead of grabbing a unicorn, or if one of the slayer tasks that doesn't really drop any decent loot, you may just opt to grab a combat familiar and speed it up a little bit. Probably not that much, but hey. But one thing I did not try, I wanted to try it out when I could, maybe in a later time. Take it to pest control and see how it deals with fighting a whole bunch of monsters that are attacking you. And two, take it to Soul Wars. Before EOC, familiars were actually quite powerful because you could never kill one.
Yeah.
Dire Titan was level 200, 230 or something like that, you remember?
Yeah.
And, you know, but you can hit that thing all you want, it will not die.
I mean, the one I'm thinking of is the Steel Titan. I remember how powerful that thing used to be pre-AOC.
Right, and when EOC came out, my Rune Minotaur died faster than I did. I was like, interesting. So, thinking, I want to test it on Soul War. Maybe people have tested it on Soul War, see how, you know, extra TPS, you know, is extra DPS. Anything else you want to add to it real quick? Or
not really. I mean, it's all, of course, dependent on your summoning level, and you know, there are hidden little gems that the familiars can have as well, so that might play a role in it. Like, for example, the Steel Titan has a 15% bonus to your defense, which if you're fighting something very big like an Eru, maybe that might be useful to you.
But one other thing I wish Jagex may update this in the future. Before this update came out, remember Shane, you and I were kind of discussing, I wish there were some range-based combat familiars. Most of the combat ones are melee-based.
Yeah.
And only real ones is either the Dust Devil one, which it's not very powerful, or the Geyser Titan, and everything else in between is mostly melee. So,
yeah, and, you know, this is a relic of pre-AOC once again. Summoning came out then, and for anybody who wasn't around back in 08, the original design document behind summoning said that summoning was to be an alternate combat type to the point where you could create these familiars and they would fight for you, and they would reward you with experience in those skills. So in a way, familiars are kind of like an extension of your weapon. It's an automated weapon that has a mind of its own, which, like I said, this is what we finally have as of this week's update. You know, ultimately, whether or not this will revive all the other familiars that people don't use in game, that's up for debate.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we still have roughly 3 or 4 summoning types. We got the Beast of Burden, we got the Gatherer, we got the Combat, and I think we have the little skill boosters like Granite Lobster and the Ints. So it's still, they're still there. I think they should maybe introduce some more summoning stuff. If they're going to update this, make them smarter, that's would be nice to get some more different types of combat familiars into the game at different levels.
Yeah, and you know, summoning rework is on the agenda because they said summoning was not intended to be the great pouch making skill, which is essentially what it became. So it'll be interesting to see where we're going with that, and that's one of the things I'm looking for at RuneFest 2015 in in there, or in the RuneScape 2015 thing at RuneFest, which I'll probably be watching as you guys are hearing this right now. So, one more thing before we move on to tweaks and fixes this week is that the familiars can now auto cast special abilities and hold up to 500 of their scrolls for you. So you really don't need those helmets anymore.
I don't think anybody really used the helmets.
Yeah, exactly.
I think most people just rather just use up that space.
I mean, come on. It's 2014, and if you're doing combat, you know, with all your heart in it, you're not using a Helm of Natus Knot as one of them. You're using a Tetsu helmet or a Death Lotus helmet, and these ones cannot hold the summoning scrolls with them. So basically, you know, it just makes sense for the familiars to hold the scrolls as an option, and 500 is quite a bit. But the really interesting thing is that in addition to using familiars' moves on their own, you can right-click the Use Special Attack button on the familiar and choose a frequency of how often you want it to use the special attack. So if you wanted to use a special attack every 5 normal attacks, you can do that. Every 3, done. Every 10, done. Every 15, done as well. So it's entirely customizable that it can do this. And, you know, when you couple something like the Iron Titan or the Steel Titan with its special move scroll, that really, really increases the amount of DPS, I think, that you can put out. And that's why it goes back to what I was saying, that, you know, maybe it'd be nice to have a way to measure how much DPS is actually going out.
Whee!
And one thing with this, who is going to know about this right-click option, and who is going to know that familiars can hold pouches if they're coming into the game and not reading this update? Because this is buried in the update text for all intents and purposes. And it's not immediately clear on the familiar's interface that it can auto-cast this, which is a beautiful thing for them to be able to do. It increases the worth of familiars greatly with this. And, you know, just the fact that it's hidden away in a right-click menu is really disconcerting to me, because how is someone coming into the game 6 months or a year from now going to know that you can do this, let alone that they can hold these scrolls? That needs to be added to the summoning tutorial.
Let's see. No, actually, if you click on the special, if you go into the interface and just click on special moves, enter the amounts of attack your familiar should do before using a special scroll amount, 0 to 15.
Oh, it's a left click.
You know, it's a right click if you want to see the text. You can also just left click on it, and the thing will pop out.
Okay.
Just test it. Think of it kind of like when, what is it? Kind of like, you know, when you used to get you're right clicking something to examine an item.
Right.
Kind of like that. Or like the autocast for magic, you know? You can just left click on it.
Yeah, well, that's not too bad then, because, you know, I thought that, you know, this was only a right-click option because I'm an action bar person, and I was triggering my special move by using the action bar. So I never actually opened up the familiar panel to look for, you know, a left-click option while fighting. I only did that after the fact, right-clicked on it, and saw it. So that's good to know. Thank you.
Okay.
And
Oh, nothing. Never mind.
All right. And one final piece of summoning news. Beast of Burden familiars now have a handy give all option.
And a deposit into from the bank.
Yeah, they've had that one for a while, but give all is really good, I think.
Yay!
All right.
Okay.
So in other tweaks and fixes this week, you can now buy RS membership for 29 and 45 days using bonds. Interesting, 29 rather than 28, but I assume that's 2 bonds right there. So that's nice that you could extend for longer, because, you know, 14 days, that's really
well, then you get 2 and you get an extra day.
Yeah.
And let's see, 28, yeah. So you get an extra couple of days with 45 too.
Oh, I see what they're doing. So it's 14 days per bond, but if you go with 2, you get an extra one because you're using 1 extra bond, but you get 3 for if you use three bonds. Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
There was also some tweaks to Treasure Hunter this week. Gives better rewards to low-level players, removes certain undesirable prizes, and manage Treasure Hunter's impact on the economy, which is, you know, something that's always interesting to me. So it's nice to see changes like that coming around.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have a couple of tweaks and fixes, don't we? So, and the rest of it, we also have here. Number of creatures have had their drop tables adjusted to increase the value of the runes. Silver Hawk boots will now trigger more by more activities. Remote farming cure patch now works at the Elven City.
Yay! Though I don't use that.
Agile armor is now classified as hybrid armor. Isn't that the...
Yeah, that's the one you get from doing X amount of agility laps at Advanced Gnome and Barbarian. And, you know, hybrid armor is an interesting mechanic that was added to the game. I personally don't see the point of hybrid armor if you're actually trying to do something, you know, useful in RS. But in any case, I think that with this agile armor, it would be nice if they let us level it up to higher tiered as it is, because...
What even you do? Just end at level 70.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's level 35 defense and constitution, which is okay, I guess, but that's really nothing armor-wise when you're talking about a piece of hybrid armor. It's really not. So I think that maybe if there was some sort of agility update that came with this, and... You know, for every certain number of agility runs you do, it increases its tier by something. So we go 45, 55, and maybe 65, since we already have 75 hybrid armor. So if we could just increase that a bit, that might be kind of interesting to see. That's my one complaint with that. But anyways, continue.
Okay, players with more than 2 billion elemental runes in their inventory via a combination of elementals in combination, which can now cast spells correctly. Okay. That's a lot of runes to keep.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who would keep that many runes in their bank or their inventory, but you obviously have a large amount of time on your hands if you have that many runes all combined. I mean, 2.147 billion runes in combination between elemental and combination runes. I've never had more than 100k fire runes. I just don't see the logic to keeping that many around. Well, maybe now with the Rune Goldberg or whatever his name is machine, but aside from that, no, not really.
Okay. I think that's pretty much it. From tweaks and fixes, unless you want to do, let's see, Araxor is now much more likely to be in the player's favorite stance when setting up an instance fight.
That's good, because you can waste some money going in there, you know, and trying to ultimately get to the right melee or magic variant, whichever one you want. So I'm happy about that. It might be an excuse to give Araxor a try this weekend once again, now that I actually have decent armor to do it with, so maybe.
Okay, and I think that's it with tweaks and fixes that we can see. Anything you don't see anything else?
No, that's good for me. So let us move on right now to this week's poll. It's another reaction survey, this time for Smarter Familiars. 30% enjoyed it, 12% say it's okay, 2% didn't like it, 47% want to play it but haven't yet, and 7% don't want to play it. Not surprising.
Which of them?
I said it was okay.
I said I want to... Oh, go ahead, finish up.
I said it was okay, but 47% haven't played this yet. So...
Let's see. I actually said I want to play, but haven't yet because I haven't really tested out the whole thing. I really do want to get down to Soul Wars and in the AoE area and really see how fast it will either stay alive or die.
Yeah, and I mean that is something that, we really consider here when we're passing judgment on update is did we truly experience it to its fullest? And I get that, and that's why this poll is like this. Something that I want to ask the listeners out there, what would you guys say to dropping discussions of the reaction surveys in the polling update? Post on the forums, let us know what you think, because I find myself thinking that, there's not much point talking about the reaction surveys unless it's absolutely absurd that 75% didn't like a piece of content. It just doesn't feel worthy when 49% haven't played it yet. So.
God. Oh, I think that's about it.
Yeah. But please do let us know on the forums, rsbmb.com/forums. Alrighty. So, RuneFest is happening today, Saturday, and there was a whole amount of live streaming going on, specifically three streams, the main RuneFest stream, a gaming stream, and RuneFest Camera 1 and Camera 2. And it's going to be interesting to see what's on camera one and camera two, basically a live overhead view of the venue itself. And then the gaming stream is for gameplay, streamers, video makers, and JMods all in one stream. And then RuneFest live stream is what we had last year, covering all the different talks going on and whatnot during the day. Being this is released on Saturday, this is now over. So I suspect most of you guys are going to be wanting to watch some of the main segments that happen on these streams, but I'm most looking forward to RuneScape 2015.
Yeah.
Or maybe the new product, some new RuneScape product they're going to be detailing as well. So
Oh yeah.
very interesting to see what's going to be happening on this. And
Their new product. It's going to be Transformers. They'll probably do something on. Well, not you know. Is that is RuneFest, not Jagex Fest? Actually, maybe they'll do something where if you load into their Transformers game, they'll give you something with RS, or and possibly vice versa. Wouldn't be the first time. We do have. Is Fun Orb still out and about, or has that died?
I don't even know. Let's have a look and see. Fun Orb.
Because it was
Fun Orb.
semi-big when he came out, but I'm wondering if the hype might have died.
Yeah, Fun Orb is still around. You can still play Arcanist, Armies of Gelenor.
Yeah,
All the
so.
other old games are still
Yeah.
there.
Yeah, they're still there. They haven't been touched in a while, but they're still there. So, well, I don't know. I wouldn't say, maybe I wouldn't say they haven't been touched in a while, but we haven't touched it in a while.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
So,
And let's
given we are
see.
recording this the day before the RuneFest live stream goes out, any predictions as to what this big product reveal is going to be?
Product review. Let's see. If I was Jagex, we're a gaming company. I'd say it's an app. I want to say it probably some kind of app for RS. I'm wondering if they make an official app without you. Maybe you pay a couple dollars here or have an ad version. They can do stuff with RS while you're away.
So like
Possibly.
a so basically a b bigger and wider reaching version of Companion then.
But again, I don't exactly have a good track record of predicting new products that are coming out. So
Okay.
actually, maybe it'd be a new mouse with a jacket sticker on it. Hey, wouldn't be the first time a company has done that.
The Jagex mouse. We have the Jagex cat. Now we got the Jagex mouse.
Oh yeah, Bob.
Yeah, I saw Bob the other day. He's still
How's
running
Bob?
around. Yeah, it's fine. It's a cat. It's an NPC cat. He's got
But
an infinite amount of lives.
it's a
But
black cat.
yes, it is a black cat. Okay, we won't cross a black cat. But, anyways, my guess as to what we're gonna see in this live stream, you guys will know if you're right, if I'm right by the time I'm listening or you're listening to this. But it is going to be the evolution of HTML5 and a version of RuneScape that is downloadable in terms of having an actual client that you play in that uses hardware acceleration and runs actually on your hardware on your computer without running on top of Java, and will use the HTML5 rendering engine except written with a desktop version of OpenGL rather than the Java version of OpenGL.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. Anyway, behind the scenes video?
Yes. Let's talk about that, shall we? This is for the drop table rework for Beasts and Ghosts. So, as I said.
What the heck is that?
What?
What's that green thing?
Isn't that like a Carrasque or something?
Oh. It's ugly.
Have you... Question. And my answer is no to this question. Have you gone to the Framenic Slayer dungeon at all recently?
Recently? Hell, actually, I take that back. Recently, no. But a couple months ago, I got those fish aqua knights that I had to slay. It's been a while.
Oh, okay.
I haven't exactly gone down there in, last week or so.
All right. Yeah, neither have I. And one of the things that this update with these drop tables, including the Dark Beast, is going to be talking about is those creatures in that dungeon that, don't exactly get much attention nowadays because we're all so busy with our favorite Slayer monsters that we have no reason to go down there. And they say that, one of the things they want to do is make it so that players do have a reason to go there, so I am happy about that, and it'll be interesting to see what these drop tables look like, specifically the Dark Beast, because as you guys knew, when the Dark Beast lost the original poll, I felt that, oh gosh, why would I want to ever go kill a Dark Beast? Their drops are so horrendous, they need level 90 Slayer, or Dark Bow is pointless, Dark Arrows are...
Actually, I like them, because you can really just shut your brain off and watch TV. Because they're aggressive, and as long as you stay alive long enough, you're good. You just go, oh, it dead? Cool, next. And since they're aggressive, you don't even have to move. Put on Bone Crusher, a charm, and just sit back with your Bunyip. Or
yeah,
whatever kind of summons you're using.
And this is exactly why Dark Beasts need a rework, is because you can do this. They're like good creatures, like you said, but you get nothing for doing them. So I'm happy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Ghost drop tables. We ever fight ghosts?
Well, I mean, the closest we get to fighting ghosts are the Aberrant Spectres.
Oh, those kind of stuff. Mm. They have decent draws if you want looking for herbs.
Yeah, I remember those. I would say those and jellies are the best sub-level 80 Slayer creatures that you can find.
Yeah, Spectres were always cool. I mean, just go on in, whack it a couple of times with your bow and arrow, and pick out the herbs you want. If you don't, grab a herbicide, you're good. They don't drop any bones, and worry about burying them.
Yeah, I remember back before the Slayer Tower rework, you could set it up so that you could range through the door and kill the Spectres without a nose peg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm. People always used to do that to kill them faster if they didn't want to, use... melee on them. So.
They didn't know that. That's why they made the door auto-close now. I got killed by one before.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Hey, actually, at the time, I wasn't wearing anything. I don't know why I went in there. I know I went in there to do something, and it was shooting through the door before they had that door automatically close, and I died because I literally wore nothing. So, oops. Whatever.
Alrighty. And one little thing, this week is Customer Service Week in the UK, so Jagex is going behind the scenes providing information on their whole customer service operation. A one-year infographic pertaining to an improvement on customer service from Jagex. Almost 500,000 players have been helped over the past year. 54% of them are for account help, 21% for account recovery, 20% payment support, 5% technical support. There are 28 mods in the customer service team, which means that an astounding 18,500-to-1 ratio for supports to JMods.
Woo!
So over the past year, on average, the JMods dealt with 18,500 support requests.
Okay.
99.9% replied to in 48 hours, vast majority dealt with in 24 hours, and one quarter dealt with in 1 hour.
Hmm. Okay. Let's see.
And one final thing before we tie this off. I just want to say to everybody out there, be kind when you contact Jagex customer support. I've seen some of the stuff that goes on that Twitter account, and it's not pretty. So, you know, granted, if you are just going in with a standard account query, do be nice to them because they get their share of assholes contacting them.
And isn't there an old saying, Shane? You will capture more bees with honey than vinegar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And quite honestly, if you're an asshole, someone's asshole, you don't feel like helping them at all.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, we have the same sort of idea over here that if someone is being hostile towards us and, you know, trying to figure out what exactly is going on with a forum account or being hostile towards ideas suggested, we're less likely to actually help them.
Well, lately we will still help them for customer service, but you will do it on our own time, not what's more convenient for you.
Yes.
What was an old story I remember a while ago? You know, customers always get frustrated when things don't go their way. Basically, there was like two separate incidents. Guy, you know, supposedly guy was helping out and lady burst through the door all screaming and yelling and said, no, I don't feel like I don't have to help you, you're being rude, blah, blah, go away. A couple days later, another person came in, asked more or less the same thing, was nice, said, oh, okay, I can help you out. All right, done, bye.
Yes.
You have to have more bees with honey than vinegar. You know, people are always angry, but if you know, it's like any customer service. You go in there screaming. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, you're one of those. All right, let's see what I can do to get you off the phone.
All right. We got one question this week from the Pyro. You want to take it?
Pyro. No. Okay. All right. Hey, Shane, Trekkie, possible guest. I'm a long-time listener, and this is my first time I have decided to ask a question. So, I recently got back into RS and was wondering if you think about buying RS bonds is worth it to become a member, or should I go and buy myself a membership? Thanks for a great podcast, Darky Pyro. Well, if you're going out to buy a membership from the store and those card membership cards or whatnot, I think they give you a bit more benefit because they give you a little knickknacks here and there, and
yeah.
Usually they give you a little bit more. Bonds, however, are for more for if you're buying, using bonds to buy memberships, one of those. I have so much money, I don't know what to do with it. Each bond so far costs just under 6 million GP each for 14 days of membership. So if you wanted to buy bonds for a month's worth, you had to spend around, well, just a little over 10 million for 29 days or so. Will you make 10 million every single week? I mean, some people
actually, let me just interject here that bonds have shot up to 6.7 recently.
Ah, so around just a little bit over 13 mil.
Yes.
So, can you make 13 million GP to pay for your membership every single week? Some people do. Some people do
every
that in a day.
Every single month, you mean? Yeah.
Sorry. Some people do that in an hour, fighting bosses. Ooh, good drop. Yay, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then you got people like me and Shane who would fight bosses here and there forever and now basically just get junk.
Yeah, and it's a matter of, you know, do you need to purchase things in RS with your GP? And can you purchase membership with real money? If your answer is no to the latter, that you can't or you're not allowed to purchase with real money if you're younger and you don't control your money, then, you know, I think bonds are a really great thing for that. They're also really great for gifting out to people, which I've done and we have done on numerous occasions. So bonds definitely do have their place. But if you can do it, the best way of doing it is through a credit card or bank card, because you pay the lowest amount of price with that. Second best, I'd say, would be the membership cards, which you can get practically anywhere. And if you have just too much GP, you don't know what to do with it, then you might as well buy it in-game. So.
And one bond right now on RS is worth about $5 each. And also, what was it? You'd be a premium member, which actually saves you a bit of money if you plan to play in the game for the long run.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. You know, one thing you might consider doing now is just finishing out the year through bonds. You'd need 7 bonds to finish out the year right now, given where we're at. Or no, not 2. Yeah.
Well, 7. Yeah,
give or take.
I mean,
yeah.
November, December, that's 2.
You need about 5.
You know, the other thing is also, usually at the end of the year, they have a sale.
Yeah, that's the Premier Club.
Wow,
sale.
It's already been a year already, hasn't it? Jeez. Didn't realize it's almost been a year already. Wow.
Yeah, and you get lots of other memberships, too, when you buy the Premier Club. Yeah. I mean, it's not something I did this year, because you just got a bulk of loyalty points, which I already had enough of. You didn't actually get rune coins this year, and it's just a good time to buy membership if you're wanting to buy membership for a year. I think that's the best way of buying it if you're not grandfathered into a cheaper plan and there's nothing you want from it. So
since you're just getting back to RS, it's probably would be a little bit cheaper if you just go through premium membership instead of going through bonds. Each bond is $5 each, or you buy in the game with, you know, whatever you want to use to buy the game to buy the bonds with.
And you know, if you're just testing out the game, seeing if you want to stick around, then bonds might be the best way to go. But yeah.
All right. Let's see. What's next?
Oh, I should throw in a bit of an ad here for audio questions. If you want to send in audio questions, just send them to questions@rsbnb.com. We'll take any format, providing it's not overly large. Or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. Or we actually have a phone number, a landline number that you can call. It's US-based, so there might be some long distance. And that's 571-572-2632. Once again, 571-572-2632.
Okie dokie. And next up, we have tech news now. So, tech news, first things first. More than half of Apple users haven't downloaded iOS 8 yet.
Well, yeah.
You're the Apple expert, so that's all you.
Yeah. You know, this is a little bit confusing to me as a Apple developer specifically. Basically what you need to pertaining to this is look at why this is the case. And I think the main reason is that iOS 8 and iOS 7 look very similar in much the way that iOS 6 and iOS 5 did. So to the end user, it doesn't feel to them probably that there's that much reason to update to the new OS, plus all of the concerns, you know, about vulnerabilities and not being able to access phone calling devices on the 6. So I think that's where it's coming from. But as someone who actually writes code for these devices, I'm going to tell all you iOS users out there who are not jailbreaked, please do upgrade to iOS 8. It makes our lives much easier, and you're really not going to notice much difference if you can run iOS 7.
I think for me, though, the reason people haven't downloaded iOS 8 yet is because they're probably waiting for them to fix some of the potential bugs that are with every new release. It's kind of like how people kind of waited between service, operating systems or whatnot. Even as of right now, even at work, we are not allowed to download iOS 8 yet because we have to make sure all the apps and everything are compatible with iOS 8 and what we need.
Yeah, that could be it as well. Another thing on the Mac side is that OS X Yosemite has not been released publicly yet. And there's going to be some pretty good stuff coming in Yosemite for Mac users and iOS users who want to control the integration of their two systems closer. So I think that will drive some downloads for it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just people not feeling a need to upgrade. And let me just say that if you have something that runs iOS 7, you will run iOS 8 just fine. Like the iPhone 4S, that was wishy-washy for 7, and as we know, it doesn't really run 8 that well, and that's kind of to be expected with a device that's 3 years old right now. So,
All right.
But please do download an update. Next story is that Apple's free U2 album scored fans, despite the many complaints that were out and around when it was first released. We got some numbers pertaining to the song, and it's received 26 million downloads since it was released on iTunes. There's 500 million iTunes users, so that's roughly about 10% of the people, give or take. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, 5% of the people. Sorry about that. Missed a number right there. But also the number, not only people who downloaded it, but 83 million people, quote, experienced the song, and that means they streamed certain aspects of it or listened to the previews. And the really interesting thing to this is that prior to this release, only 14 million customers had purchased music from U2 since the opening of the iTunes store in 2003. So I think what this is saying is that if you're wanting to generate some traction for your band and, you know, maybe look at doing a bit of a different marketing model and raise awareness for yourself, there's nothing wrong with free, because you can offer this to Apple for a little bit, and at the end of the day, you're going to raise awareness and you're going to get your music out there to people who like it, and later on, you might have converted some fans over. So I think that this is very interesting in terms of music marketing and whatnot. Granted, I'm not much of an expert in that, but to all the people who were saying that they didn't want to be forced to do this, you know, there was a way to delete it, and you weren't forced to, you know, listen to it or anything. So I think this is the future for online music and media in general.
Okay.
And are you an iTunes user at all, or
no?
Okay, so you avoid it pretty much then.
I have no reason to use iTunes because, one, most of the songs I listen to are so junk, and most of my song list is so outdated. I make Backstreet Boys look fresh and new. usually I just pop on Pandora when I'm driving and just listen to whatever pops on. That's basically what I do. I don't really bother with iTunes because, one, I don't have an iPhone, so I have no reason to really use iTunes to hold my music stuff. And I still use Winamp, even though it's dead. I still use Winamp.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, usually when I actually have time to just sit down and just watch and just listen to music, my Winamp is still on here, and I just use that one.
Okay. So I definitely won't be having that from you then, but nonetheless, I just hope that people out there are listening to this and, you know, seeing what this kind of exposure in iTunes does for you, even if, you know, you're a bit more popular than, say, U2 is, because I don't think anyone's heard from them in probably the better part of a decade. So, you know, a good way of generating publicity. And it was only free for a month. It's going away this coming week. So you don't need to make it free forever. You just need to make it free for a little bit.
And, you know, people are kind of busting U2 for Apple doing this for U2 and all that stuff. And it's like, dude, if they make you pay for it, you guys get super angry. It's free.
Yeah. And I mean,
look at this way. You know how, like, you know, if you ever install, you know, new Windows operating system on the computer, you ever go to music selection, you notice there's still Beethoven in there every time you've installed it. You know what I mean? Like,
really?
The sample music that they have. I always remember having that, seeing that. And so it's like, ew, they're not the only one that does it. Lots of, you know, what's another thing? I mean, I'm sure a couple of products in the past have, like, if you buy something else, you get a free soundtrack from blah, 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 or something, some kind of free promotion with it. You don't see them going up in arms over them.
Yeah.
You're a sellout. Who cares?
Yeah, you're right. It's like buying a movie and getting a free soundtrack or poster. You don't need to do anything with it. It's there. And the model with iTunes is that you own the track, and if you delete the track, it used to be gone and there was no way to download it, but now you can download it again. So, I mean, you can delete it and it'll be gone. There's nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. But, and, you know, quite honestly, it's more, in my opinion, it's more of a internet thing who people just want to find something to complain about.
Yes,
and
yes.
After they're, and then it becomes an internet meme. Like, oh, it's the dumbest thing ever. It's free. You didn't pay for a damn thing. You don't want it, don't do it. Don't bother listen to it. You like it, great. You don't like it, just forget it. Come on. Even, you know, Microsoft, when you install a new operating system, you get a bunch of free pictures. For wallpapers and whatnot, you don't complain about those, do you?
Yeah. So, question. What's the benchmark for a popular and successful music album thing?
I don't know. Depends on, I don't know. I haven't an idea. See, we hit
platinum. Talking 26 million here.
I don't know. Yeah, I do not know.
All right. Well, in any case, that's enough talking about music. Let's move on to another piece of news that's maybe a little bit more concerning to people out there. If you're a Snapchat user and, you know, you might have signed into a website before called snapsave.com, which was a website that kept and saved your snaps between people, there is a chance that images taken to this website were stolen and posted to 4chan. And the thing is that the concern, rather, is that these images are containing of nude pictures and whatnot, which raises alarm bells specifically for child pornography. Over 100,000 user images and videos were in the cache, according to 4chan. And 4chan has actively been looking for and removing these ones that were bad, so I do give them credit for that. I didn't know that's something that they would do, but good for them for at least having some sliver of a moral compass right there. But, you know, this is just the kind of thing that can happen online when you rely on a third-party service to host things as precious as your pictures and save them back and whatnot. They can get stolen if the company has bad security, and that looks to be what happened here.
Just go with the age-old saying, anything you put online can potentially get stolen. Leave it at that.
Yeah. And, I mean, the thing... continue.
Oh, nothing. Go ahead.
Okay, the thing with Snapchat, though, is it's supposed to be an image service that, you know, just disappears after it disappears in your thing, but, you know, if you do sign in to one of these websites to have your images saved, then you are kind of violating that. And, you know, once it's out of your hands, you really can't control it. And that's the same thing with anything online. So it's always something to be wary of. And, you know, I kind of feel sorry for these people, but that's what happens with open APIs and whatnot in general, is that you can create stuff that might not exactly be secure. So that's another reason for Snapchat to just close up and offer a unified experience around their application. This is not similar in any way to what we were saying before, how Snapchat images can be stolen, or rather accessed after they're supposedly gone on your devices. So nonetheless, the old adage applies. If you're scared of something being leaked online, whether it be a picture, a text, or an email or something, don't send it in the first place.
Yeah, so I got really nothing to say about Snapchat and all this. We had our nasty little hacking incident not too far long ago.
With what?
Apple.
Oh, yeah. Even if you can call that a hack.
Well, supposedly they did random number generator and guess from people's password, if you believe those rumors. But then again, I'm not the network security expert, so that ain't up to me.
Basically, what's likely that happened with that is people just had garbage passwords, and, you know, that's what happens.
Okay.
Anyways, no comment from Snapchat on that yet. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they say anything. But just be careful with third-party apps. That's the best thing I can say. That, and don't put stuff online if you don't want to be into the hands of bad guys.
Anyway, let's see. October, we have to skill of the month. Skill of the month is going to be interesting graph. Pop this open. We have a possible tie with second and third players with MagicKey08 and Flash. Icarus is at 6 million XP. And it's first place.
That's pretty good. I remember he made a post on the forums stating that he would need to get ranked in order to enter, and he's clearly done that, maintaining a lead. And, you know, second and third as well, that's interesting, very close. And it always goes back to what I say, that these skill of the months that involve primary skills are the most interesting because they are a test of endurance and seeing who exactly can pull off a victory in some way or another. So,
and who has a lot of movies to watch that they need to catch up on. Or Netflix with all the TV shows. I'm just like, all right, let's watch Dragon Ball Z, all 1,000 episodes.
Yeah, especially with something like woodcutting, because that's definitely the easiest skill to, just...
AFK?
AFK, so it's fishing, right? So yeah, fishing too.
A little bit of cooking. Actually, we can do IVs. Yeah, that's pretty much what you do. Okay.
And what's... in achievements of the week, we got two of them this week by some person named J1, J2, J3. Got 99 Prayer and 99 Slayer.
Almost the same time. But I forgot that they drop small bones, not big bones. Like, shoot. I miscalculated how close I was. But funny enough, you know, for the past couple of weeks, I've been gathering Frost Dragon Bones.
Yes.
To try and get to 99, get to 99 Prayer. I was 700K away from 99 Prayer. I ended up with about 600,000 bonus XP for prayer. I got 99 prayer, and I still have 175,000 bonus XP left to use up.
Too bad that you can't give it away to Vic once again, you know? That would be very good.
Oh, well. Actually, I was hoping to do it with the other guy who was going to get a bunch of 99s all at once, but I really wanted to do my Dungeoneering daily, and if I had Slayer or prayer door that I need to unlock that would have caused me to jump through. So it's like, oh, just get it now. And it's kind of good because then we fill up this week then with me. Yay, me.
Yeah, one little comment pertaining to how you pulled that off. You made us all come to the Smoke Devil or the Dust Devil dungeon in the desert. I needed to find a smoke mask, and I needed to find my Dust Devil mask because I wasn't going to take the carpet all the way there. And
Good with fast travel.
yeah, it is, but it's kind of annoying to do that. And what was the other thing that got messed up? Oh, the bones, right?
Yeah, I forgot. I needed a slightly larger bone than normal bones. Like, oops, I forgot about that part. But then again, I would have ran the risk of getting so close that I might have just accidentally gotten it anyway. So that would have sucked. So, yeah, it worked out. I still got both. Let's see. Yeah. And the thing, what got me, I don't, it, honestly, it snuck up on me.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Yeah, I keep doing those experience scrolls from player owned ports. They're the one that really got me so close to 99. I was like, you remember I told you before, I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize I got about 1 million XP left and 1 million XP left in Slate here to get 99, remember? A while back.
Yeah, I remember that. That didn't even seem too long ago.
No. And I wasn't even trying to get 99. I was just doing Slayer because I wanted to do Slayer and train up a little bit of range. Get some charms in.
All right, well, that's good. Congratulations.
Woo!
Moving on from that, we got a redo of an old classic on the YouTube channel, a redo of the How to Farm video in form of a supplemental because, well, since the last time we did that, the farming methods have changed. You can do the herb run so much quicker, and there's the extra herb patch now and potions and aura and whatnot. So basically what I did is I just gave a quick little rundown of how you can do a standard herb farming run in under 5 minutes and still have time to spare. So that it's a great way of making
All right.
profit. And in theory, you can do this once every hour and 10 minutes or so. So if you're if you time it right, you can log in every so often like that and just do your little herb run and off you go. Amazing amount of herbs you can pull in if you wanted to no life something like that. So give that a watch. You can find that in the link at update.rsvmp.com.
Alrighty then.
So I believe you might have a pick for us this week.
Yeah, it's a little pick that I found, and you remember, Shane in I think it's somewhere near the Arctic Circle up north, we have the depository of every single seed of every single plant known to man. In case of the idea that Armageddon comes and we need to, regrow all the food and everything else, we have a depository that's designed just to hold food and seeds that we're going to
Yeah,
use
I think I
grow.
heard about that.
Well, this is actually a little library, and this world's largest and oldest scientific archive of biodiversity audio and video recordings. Their mission: to collect and preserve recordings of each species' behavior and natural history, to facilitate the ability of others to collect and preserve such recording, and to actively promote the use of these recordings for diverse purposes, for scientific research, education, conservation, and the arts.
Well, that's very good. That's like it's almost like a something that a biology student can use if they were wanting to get pictures that were certified to be valid of specific animals and whatnot. I know
The
that
edge.
these kind of things are always interesting to look at in museums.
And this site here is considered the largest and oldest scientific archive, audio and video recordings of animals. The whole mission is to preserve the sounds and pictures of the animals, and we can just hope to use them for research, education, conservations, everything else. You ever watch that History Channel series a while back of if humans disappeared right now, what happened?
Yes, actually, I did. I did.
And there was an episode where if humans disappeared, our language does not disappear, at least for
Right.
a time being, because parrots mimic us instead of aliens. Remember, well, you do mimic us, and so in theory, if animals ever come down here, not animals, if aliens ever visit Earth when we were all extinct or whatever, saying that they're here probably want a cracker all the time, and they'll never understand what that means. But the idea of someone kind of like that to preserve languages and calls of animals and pictures of animals, and if they ever go, we have a recording of how they sound like. Mini calls are always interesting.
All right, that's very good, and you can find all that at MacaulayLibrary.org, MacaulayLibrary.org, library.org. All right, what have you been up to this week aside from the 99s?
Really? Can I ask that? That's what I kind of spend most of the week doing. Actually, what I'm planning to do is try to read all my schedule to 91. Only thing that's left to get to 91 is farming, which is level 90. I probably could get it if I put my butt into it, and divination. I've been doing some number crunching. Shane, don't laugh. Some number crunching on summoning, see if I should go for 99 for double XP weekend. And I think, in theory, I have enough to get it. But whether I'm contemplating if I should, if and when I should buy all these secondaries to make them.
I
But
would say buy them as soon as possible.
I've been also wanting to G Grand Exchange portfolio on some of the items that I have interest in selling in the future. And I told you this yesterday. I found an interesting dip, a little pattern with every item that a lot of them just sunk to dirt cheap, and then they're not. Oh, 1 XP coming out, and suddenly like, boom, whoa! Remember, huge shoot up. I was like, this is weird.
Yeah, you
Wondering if
showed me
something's,
that.
yeah, wonder if something started trading, because right before September, when this was announced, suddenly everything just died and went to dirt cheap, and suddenly now everyone, what the heck? I
All
mean,
right.
someone has been tenfold.
That's very good. And I apologize for having to cut this short, but we are having some network difficulties right now that I can't really fix. So if you're unable to understand the last couple minutes, I'm sorry about that. But you should be able to understand now what I've been up to. This week on RS, farming runs, did a Slayer test to test out the familiars, and back to thieving, going for 93 currently. So that's pretty much all I've been up to. And going for the Death Lotus set. I'm sorry, not the Death Lotus, the Seasinger set now in ports.
Yay, she's here.
Sorry, we got to cut this short, but we will see you next week. Hopefully, we will not have any connection problems then. But as always, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. You can find us at update.rsbnb.com.
Bye.